You are important. Your value and importance can be estimated in so many ways, but only when you estimate your value in light of who God is and what He has done for us, for you, can you truly know of your great value. God, the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Gospel of John is a beautiful account of the life of God, the Son, while He was here upon this earth. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God the Son that became flesh is Jesus the Christ. He became flesh, took upon Him the form of a servant, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, so that He could serve us, so that He could die for us. Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, was made a little lower than the angels, and while He was here upon this earth, John chapter 8, verses 58 and 59, He was both fully God and fully man. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Verse 59, they took up stones. They wanted to stone Him for blasphemy. They understood that He was saying that He was divine. "Before Abraham was, I am." So He existed before Abraham. And He's saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." Simply exist. Self-existent one. Similar expression used by God the Father. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, "I am that I am." The self-existent one, the one who has always existed, existed in the past, exists now, always will exist, exists outside of time, created time, the self-existent, eternal one. Jesus Christ was both God and man while here upon this earth. There's something else that I think is very important for us to realize concerning Jesus Christ. While He lived here upon this earth as a man, not only was He both God and man, but to know Jesus is to know the Father. Not because they are the same exact personality, they both make up the one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they are distinct individuals as well. So how are they the same? Well, they're both divine, but they're the same in their characteristics, their perfection in holiness and love, compassion, their perfection and justice, all of those things, they are the same. So to know Jesus is to know the Father. To look at the gospel accounts, such as the one given by John, and to understand some important things concerning Jesus is to understand some important things concerning God, the Son, and God, the Father. John 14, verse 7, Jesus said this, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on you know Him and have seen Him." Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not seen Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the sake of the works themselves." The works, the miracles that He had performed, gave evidence of who He was and gave evidence to the truthful nature of His claim to be divine. But the main point here is this. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. You can see Jesus by going to the gospel accounts. Let's think about this. to read of Jesus' interaction with people while he was on this earth is to know of God's interaction with individuals. Think about that. The God who has the power and knowledge to create this vast universe, he's unlimited in power and knowledge. The God who has the ability to do whatever it is that he chooses to do. The God who made every single individual that exists, created the soul of every single person on this planet, also knows every person on this planet very well. And when you look at the way Jesus Christ interacted with individuals, you're seeing how God interacted with individuals. And through that interaction with individuals, as we see it in the gospel accounts, we see that individual people are important to God. God's interaction with individuals indicates their value. And if individuals are important, then you are too. You're very important. Jesus' interaction with early disciples indicates their individual importance. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51 so shows us Jesus Christ meeting Simon Peter. He knew something about Peter already, and he changes Peter's name. And then he meets some others, and he knows everything about them just by looking at them, looking into their hearts. Nathanael, he knows, is someone in whom there is no deceit whatsoever. His interaction with them indicates when he sees them, he knows them as individuals and that they are very important to him. One of the interactions that Jesus Christ had with individuals while he was here upon this earth came with a woman from Samaria, and that's recorded in John chapter 4. Jesus Christ is traveling through Samaria, and he stops to wait at Jacob's well and to rest while his disciples go on into town to get some food. While he's there, a Samaritan woman comes to draw water from the well. And he asks her to get him a drink. She's surprised that he would speak to her. She's a Samaritan, he's a Jew, and yet this Jewish man is now speaking to this woman from Samaria, and Jesus Christ uses that opportunity introduce some spiritual concepts to this woman. She begins to talk about the water, and so he takes that and begins to talk about living water. I can give you living water. If you drink from this water, you'll never thirst. If you drink from this water, you can have eternal life. And she says, give me that water. As they continue their discussion, Jesus Christ taking physical things and pointing them towards spiritual things, she begins to talk about worship. And so he talks about worship with her. The Samaritans had a different idea about where worship should take place than what the Jews had. And Jesus Christ speaks to her concerning the fact that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking such true worshipers, and the time is coming when it won't matter whether it's in Jerusalem or on Mount Gerizim as far as where people worship. But the discussion continues to focus on the spiritual. And then Jesus Christ says something to this woman about all of the men that she has had in her life. And the one that she now lives with is not her husband. Jesus knew that about her. He knew everything about her. He knows that she is a woman who is not following God's law concerning marriage, it would seem. That being the case, she would be a woman whose reputation might not have been the greatest. But what does Jesus see? Does he see someone that he wants to run away from? Oh, what a horrible person. I don't need to interact with her. That's not what he sees. He sees a soul. He sees a spirit. He sees a woman, an individual, a person that he finds to be very important. important enough to, even as the conversation goes on, reveal to her the fact that he is the divine Messiah of prophecy. She goes off into the town there to talk to others about what she has found in Jesus, and she brings them out to him, and Jesus ends up spending 2 days there speaking not just to this woman but to others from Samaria. But he stopped, took the time, made the effort to speak to this one person about her soul. This is God the Son. God the Son has that much concern for individuals. There's a fascinating account in John chapter 8 of an interaction that Jesus Christ has here in this case with another woman. This is a woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses stated that those caught in the act of adultery should be stoned. The man and the woman brought to be judged, and then the penalty carried out. They haven't brought the man, they've just brought the woman. And so by the law, Jesus Christ certainly would not have condemned her, and he did not condemn her legally. He did tell her, go and sin no more. So he recognized what she had done was sin, and he told her, you need to stop. Go and sin no more. But let's stop and look back at it a little slower. Let's think about this. Jesus is there at the temple grounds there, and he is teaching some people, and these individuals come, and they throw this woman before him in the midst of this crowd here, and they say, she's been caught in adultery. The law says she should be stoned. What do you say? Jesus simply stoops down, and he begins to write in the dirt. The crowd continues to push as he's writing in the dirt, perhaps giving them opportunity to think. And then eventually he says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now that comment doesn't justify the woman's sin. He says, don't do this anymore. Go and sin no more. But that comment did cause these others to pause and think in terms of that woman's value. And by the law, he could not have had her stoned anyway. But Jesus saved her life and gave her an opportunity to repent. And every time God gives us an opportunity to repent, he is showing his compassion and love for us. Jesus' interaction with that woman on that day indicates that individuals are important to God, and therefore, you are as well. John chapter 9 gives us another beautiful picture of Jesus Christ's interaction with an individual. Here is a man who has been born blind. Jesus Christ miraculously gives him the ability to see, very easy for God to do. There is some controversy over what has happened. This man is called into question by some of the officials. His parents are called in. The controversy ensues, especially because it was done on the Sabbath day. And yet, Jesus Christ looks for an opportunity to come back and speak to this man concerning his soul. So what does this show us? Here's God seeing an individual, having compassion on that individual because of a physical need and helping him with that. And then also having compassion upon that individual because of his spiritual needs and then teaching him the truth concerning himself, Jesus, the Messiah. All of that indicating that God, taking the time to focus on this individual, really does love every single individual. And then this passage, John chapter 11, such a beautiful passage, talks to us about that time when Jesus' good friend Lazarus has died. Lazarus has sisters, Mary and Martha. They also are good friends of our Lord while he was here upon this earth. Now, after Lazarus had died, Jesus Christ goes to the funeral there. While he's there at the funeral, he's going to talk to Mary and he's going to talk to Martha, and he's going to look around and consider those that are grieving there at that time. John 11 and verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, that is Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That tells me Martha is a woman of great faith. She knows Jesus could have healed her brother. But look at this. "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." This woman is very powerful in her faith, isn't she? Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Well, Martha's an amazing person, isn't she? She has come to an understanding of who Christ Jesus was while he was here upon this earth, far ahead of so many others, including those that would become his apostles. She has great faith. And that scene here, but notice, this is God, the Son, having a conversation with this woman and speaking to her in such a way that indicates he values her and sees her as important. When her sister Mary finds out that Jesus has come, then Mary runs to meet Jesus as well. Verse 32, "When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping," look at this. Jesus sees Mary weeping. She's just falling down, weeping, crying over the loss of her brother. "And saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have crucified.'" When he saw that, and then the Jews that came with her, the others that were mourning there at the funeral, were weeping as well. Jesus sees all the tears. He groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. What is that telling us? Here's God the Son. Here's God here on the earth, looking at the suffering of these people. They're crying over the loss of a loved one. And as he looks at their suffering touches him so much. The suffering of Mary and Martha and these others touches him so much. He's groaning inside. He's grieved inside. His spirit is troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now, the people there thought, "Oh, look at him weeping. See how much he loved Lazarus." But the context here is showing us that it is when he looks around at the grief of these people that he begins to groan inside, and that causes him to come to tears. He's not weeping over Lazarus. He's about to raise his friend from the dead. He's weeping because of the sorrow of these people. Even though he knows he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, their sorrow touched him that much. The sorrow of individual people touched God so much that God cried. The compassion of Christ at the funeral of Lazarus shows individuals are important to God. In an earlier lesson, we talked about God the Son washing the feet of the disciples, even the feet of the one who would betray him, Judas, and even the feet of the one that would deny him. This is in John chapter 13. And as he washed the feet of the disciples, you see God the Son serving those whom he had created, and you see the importance and value of them. Here's a beautiful situation. John chapter 20. Verses 11 through 18, Jesus' interaction with Mary Magdalene after his resurrection indicates her individual importance. Mary Magdalene had gone with some women to the tomb. She went ahead of them, got there first, found the tomb empty because Jesus had been raised from the dead, ran back to tell the apostles Peter and John. Meanwhile, the other women get to the tomb. Peter and John decide to run to the tomb when they hear what Mary Magdalene has to say. By the time they get to the tomb, the other women have left. Peter races right in, and John looks in, and then they leave. And after they leave, then Mary Magdalene comes back. And as Mary Magdalene comes back, she sees the Lord. At first, not recognizing him, she's crying, "Where have they laid the body of my Lord?" Perhaps her eyes are blurry with the tears. But then Jesus says her name, Mary. God says the name of that individual. And he allows that individual to be the first to see him raised from the dead. You see Jesus in his interaction with Thomas in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, giving Thomas the opportunity to feel where the nails had gone in and to feel where the spear had gone into the side so that Thomas could have the evidence. And Thomas fell down, "My Lord and my God," John 20, 24 through 29. But Jesus gave him that opportunity. To read of Jesus' interaction with people while he was on this earth is to know of God's love for individuals. If individuals are important, you are important. You are very important. God loves you, and to God be the glory.